Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Wednesday, January the 30th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at Chapter 1, which is on page 4, Bill's story, starting with the first paragraph beginning with, abruptly in October 1929, and we'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending with, this time we stayed broke. We will be commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Cindy D., Penny L. C., and Kathy Jo P. Our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. The share ID for yesterday's Tuesday, January 29th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,474. That's 12474. And our share ID for this morning's Wednesday, January 30th, 2019, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,481. That's 12481. DOA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Nancy T. to read our 12 steps of OA. Nancy?
Hi, good morning. Step one, we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry this out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy T. And now we'll hear from Athena B., who will read the 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Athena B., Northern California. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters accepting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be service.
And thank you, Athena B., for being of service today this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in Chapter 1, Bill's story, the first paragraph, beginning with abruptly in October 1929, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, this time we stayed broke. We'll be commenting on both paragraphs. And so would Cindy D. please begin reading.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy. I'm gratefully recovered in Texas. Abruptly, in October 1929, hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. After one of those days of inferno, I wobbled from a hotel bar to a brokerage office. It was 8 o'clock, 5 hours after the market closed. The ticker still clattered. I was staring at an inch of the tape which bore the inscription of XYZ32. It had been 52 that morning. I was finished, and so were many of my friends. The papers reported men jumping to death from the towers of high finance. That disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several million since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow was another day. As I drank, the old fierce determination to win came back. Next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. He had plenty of money left and thought I had better go to Canada. By the following spring, we were living in our accustomed style. I felt like Napoleon returning from St. Elba. No St. Helena for me. But drinking caught up with me again, and my generous friend had to let me go. This time, we stayed broke. My experience, you know, reading Bill's story is much like others in that every time I read it, I find new parts of my story that I identify in with Bill. And I had the ego that Bill had, and I was always striving for more in personal life as well as work. And, you know, I so relate about all this with his work. You know, after 23 years on a particular job and had gotten into an executive position and was making plenty of money, and ended up being laid off. And I lost all my fair weather friends when that happened, but I remember thinking, "Oh, this is okay, you know, I'll be fine." Anyway, I had been at the height of my disease and at the top of my weight, which was 329 pounds, a little bit before that happened. And I had had bariatric surgery and had lost a bunch of weight. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be okay. I've lost weight now, and I've got severance, and I can just enjoy myself. So I ended up taking time off from working, and I was spending like crazy. And, you know, relate to the sentence earlier about, you know, throwing money in the till. I mean, I wasted so much money over that time. And so then I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe it's time to get married. So I got married, and then I decided, well, I'll go back to work. You know, tomorrow's another day. So I was going to win again. So I went back to work, and I thought, well, maybe I just want a job, not a big executive career position. So it didn't take long, and I was back to wanting more. And so as the responsibility and the accolades all came my way, I thought it was great, but I was gaining weight again. And, you know, I ended up in another executive position and did that job for 10 years and then was laid off again. But I was pretty devastated by that layoff, and I kind of lost my identity. I had invested so much of who I was, my self-worth came from my career. And I always told people that I felt like Jekyll and Hyde, that my work life was so separate from my personal life. So I felt, you know, my worth, and I felt good when I was at work, but not in my personal life. So I started gaining weight and ended up in the hospital having surgery to correct the problem, and almost lost my life. And still didn't, you know, get it. But now I can look back and I just see my disease at work in every aspect of my life. And, you know, last July I came into back, you know, to OA after being away for 30 years. And thank God I did. And now every day I strive to just build my relationship with my higher power so that I can do things differently. And by the graces of God, my husband's sober, and things are getting better, you know, slowly but surely. I'm learning. I'm a slow learner. But it does work, and I'm so grateful that I'm here. And Sherry, thanks for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Cindy D., for getting us started. So again, we're reading in the Chapter 1, Bill's Story, starting with the first paragraph.
Sherry, just one second, please. You're breaking up a little bit. Can you reposition? We're hearing very few words that you're saying.
Okay, is that better?
No, it's not.
I don't know what to say.
Why don't you,
Melanie? You're breaking
up and dial back.
Melanie, you're breaking up as well.
Sherry, can you perhaps hang up and dial back in? And
Melanie, it's you. It's not her.
I'll call back.
Melanie, it's.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, how are this way, John?
Sounds like the line's cleared.
Okay, very good. And then Sherry KB is going to dial back in. In the meantime, we are in Bill's story, page 4. We're going to read paragraph 1 and 2 today, commenting on those two paragraphs. And I can take some names very slowly, please, if you would.
Hey, it's Sherry.
Can you hear me from Los Angeles?
Hello?
Somebody from Los Angeles. Hang on, Sherry, please. Somebody from Los Angeles.
Kathy C.
Kathy C. Okay.
Kara L.
No.
Kara L.
Yes.
Kara
Bruce
L.
Bruce in Florida.
Gotcha. Bruce in Florida.
Bruce
nice
E.
And strong. Gotcha.
Nosa J. from Iowa.
Nosa J. from Iowa. Mm-hmm.
Kathleen
two
O.
More. Kathleen O. One more.
Beatrice O. from
Beatrice.
California.
Gotcha. We got the six. We have Kathy, Kara, Bruce, Nosa, Kathleen, and Beatrice. Okay, so Kathleen C., Kathy C., if you would go first, and then Sherry KB will come on and do the directing from there.
Okay, I don't know the name, but that's okay.
Hi, this is Kathy C., compulsive reader in Los Angeles. Thank you. There's some background noise, but thank you so much for your service and for the reading and the share, and welcome if you're new. And I love the line where he says, we're living in our accustomed style. I relate to that grandiosity very, very, very much. You know, because I have the disease of more, and I was, you know, I was born thinking that I deserve things in a very luxurious setting, even if I was spending money that wasn't my own. And it's so nice in recovery to be living within my own means. And sometimes I get treated to fancy things, or sometimes I can afford a fancy thing, but you know, I have a lot more respect for it than I did, and I don't feel that I have arrived and this is what I deserve feeling, and I'm kind of glad that that's gone, and I can look back on it and smile, and, you know, I can also relate to this idea of the next best thing. When I was really deep in my disease and a relapse a little over 2.5 years ago, I spent a lot of my time looking for the best of whatever food I wanted to binge on, and I would spend hours just looking and looking at what the best was of that particular food item, but would usually come to the conclusion that the best was too far away for me to get my fix, and that I needed to go as close as possible and kind of as incognito as possible to feed my addiction. So I'm glad I don't live like that anymore. I'm grateful for 2.5 years of abstinence. I'm grateful for this 90 and 90 that I'm in the middle of, and I really love this 7 a.m. meeting and the focus on the big book. And for today, I just hope to stay out of that grandiosity and just follow God. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
You, Kara. Okay, you're up next, please.
Hi, my name is Kara L., and I'm recovered in Long Beach, California. Thanks, everybody, for being on the line today. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I really identified today with the line that the papers reported men jumping to their death in the Towers of Python, and that disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. And I can remember, you know, in jobs, I would say, oh, that job is too hard. Nobody likes that person. I can do it. You know, you guys are all going to fail. And then I ate to get through the stress, ate to get through a bad situation. My ego and hubris were so large that I figured I can handle it. I can bring it on. And every job I ever took, I would think, I'm going to make this job better. I'm going to rise up. And I did usually. And then I would get to the position and I would be miserable and I would eat. And then I would start the well-known stages of remorse. And I would get up every morning and I would eat because of the day coming above. And I would have resolve every morning, and then I would eat all day long. And so I totally identify with that. And even the moving to a new location and starting something new. And I did that too. I would start something new and it would be amazing. And again, I would fall until I fell. And so this time we stayed broke. And I did. I stayed broke. And that's how I walked through the doors. And because I woke up and I could no longer do it. And everything in my life was going down. And I am so ever grateful for OA. And I'm so ever grateful for Vision, working the steps and finding my connection with my higher power and finding freedom from the food and my ego and just living right size today, asking every morning for my God's will for me and stopping throughout the day to check in with my higher power. And I'm so thankful. Yes.
Thank you, Kara L. and Bruce E. You're up next, followed by Kathleen O. Bruce, star one to unmute, please.
Yeah, this is Bruce. Bruce E. in South Florida. Thank you. Let's see. If I don't come through clear, let me know. I can switch phones a little bit here. Abruptly in October of 1929. Now, October is an interesting month for me because big things always happen to me in October. I don't know why, but they do. September, October. Got married then, went to service then, got out of the service, went to college. Anyway, all kinds of stuff, but it happened then, and big market corrections still happen in October. Anyway, hell broke loose on the stock exchange. He wobbles from the bar. He's staring at a ticker tape back at the brokerage house. It's down to 32. In other words, it went down from $52 a share in the morning till 32 that evening, about $20 a share. That's $40. Not unusual for a major market correction or a major market collapse. A lot of people were destroyed during that. And many people were jumping to death from the towers of high finance. That disgusted me. That, I think that's really interesting to me that he said, okay, all those other guys, all those other people, you know, they were cowards and they jumped, but no, not me. That, he said, that disgusted him that those other people would do that. He went, so what's he do? He goes back to the bar. Yeah, what do I do? Okay, all those other people, they can do what they want to do, but I can go back to the food. My friends had dropped several million dollars since 10 o'clock, so what? Tomorrow was another day. As I drank, the fierce determination to win came back to me, came back to him. So the sugar hit his brain cells, and bang, it went. You know, in myself, you know, hey, I went back to the food. You know, this can happen, that can happen. I can always go back to my best friend. And then the old fierce determination to win came back. Yeah, man, that sugar hits those brain cells. It was from those half dozen donuts and that coffee and that caffeine. Man, I'm on top of the world. I can do anything now. Man, that fierce determination really comes back. And really what's behind it not only is the sugar rush and the caffeine rush, but the ego rush is in there. So ego, sugar, caffeine, man, that is a potent poison for me. That'll kill me every time. I'll go down for the count soon after that. Down after time, down for the count. Sugar, caffeine, and ego. And thank you very much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bruce. And Nosa? You're up next. Nosa J. Nosa, star one to unmute, please. Nosa.
Thank you. This is Nosa J from Iowa. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's very cold here, but I'm inside. I was just reading this, and like I have this huge ego too, and I would definitely do the geotypical changes. Like I have a picture that takes two people to put up on the wall. It's huge. This is how big my ego is of myself when I looked really good and you know, so it's like I'm my own movie star. That's what goes on in my head. And so then, you know, I will binge eat on my food and I'll get that high. Like, you know, I get that high like, oh, I can eat whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. And, you know, I got into a different program 6 years ago and, you know, I started peeling that onion and, you know, and my food came up, you know, and I would have never thought, you know, from a very young child that I did geographical changes because of the way I ate, but it was really the way that I felt about myself. I never fit in. I was always better than or less than somebody. And I was never comfortable with me. And I ate. And then once I ate, I felt better. Once I used outside substances, I felt better. You know, I'm just, I just have that in my background. And so, you know, I've been struggling a little bit this past week. I almost been abstinent for a month. And that little voice in my head keeps telling me that I can eat like other people. You know, I can just have a little bit of ice cream. I can go ahead and order a pizza, you know. And some of the people on the line I reach out to, and, you know, that's where I get that support and love, and because they know exactly what I'm going through, and they let me know that that voice is lying, and, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Just don't pick up. Just don't go and get that pizza. Just call somebody instead. I just love this line. Vision for You is amazing with all you people here, with the support. I'm so grateful and thankful that I have you guys. And thank you all for your service. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nosa, Jay, and Kathleen. Oh, you're up, followed by Beatrice. Kathleen?
Good morning, Sherry KB. It's Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. And thank you for your service this morning, Sherry, and thank you for everyone who shared. It's great shares this morning. So I love the line, just love it. Tomorrow is another day. How many thousands of times did I say that over the decades? You know, there's always tomorrow. And you know, Vivian Lee made that a famous line, Gone with the Wind. Same thing. Tomorrow is always another day. World's falling around, down around her. Same with Bill. You know, the economy's crashing. People are jumping out of windows. What does he do? Maybe his alcoholism saved him, because his answer was go to the bar. And that was always my answer. You know, things would be crashing around me. Things wouldn't be going right because of some craziness I had created. But rather than deal with it and look at my part in it, I'll just go eat. That'll fix everything. And thank you, God, today I don't have to do that. You know, today I have a connection with a higher power. And just like Bill, you know, we read his story. He is on again, off again, on again, off again, determined this is the time. And then he drinks again, determined this is going to be it this time. And then he drinks again, and there's always tomorrow. And that was my story, literally, for decades. And so to find this 12-step program, as crazy as it seems, it works. And it just makes life so much better, not having to fight the food. When things go wrong, I don't need to go to the food anymore. I can go to a power greater than me that's going to give me the answers. And thank you. It's wonderful every morning being on the line with all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And before we hear from Beatrice O, just want to remind everybody that we're in Chapter 1, Bill's story, on the first paragraph where it says, abruptly in October 1929, reading through two paragraphs ending in, this time we stayed broke. And we'll be commenting on both paragraphs. So, Beatrice O, would you go ahead, please?
So this is Beatrice O from Northern California. So this chapter really reminds me of me, that where he says that fierce determination to win came back. And I spent my whole life trying to climb the ladder. I figured if I worked hard and did everything that I was supposed to, I would succeed, and I did. I just wanted to piggyback on what was said, you know, the sugar, the ego, and the caffeine. And I wanted to add to that. I wanted to add denial. I mean, I remember when I would pick up again, and you know, 4 or 5 months later, I will look in the mirror and say, oh my God, how did I gain 50 pounds and not know it? I don't know where my mind went when I was compulsively overeating, but I would look in the mirror months after and take a good, have like a reality check and say, oh my God, I've gained 50 pounds. But all those times that I was, you know, running around, shopping, trying to find clothes to wear to work and, you know, bought into, you know, I got a dress for success and this and that. You know, I don't think I was even conscious of what I was doing to myself. I used to be an event planner and I used to coordinate an end of the year party for about 1,400 people every year. And I used to spend the year dieting and exercising so I can go to this fancy store where I used to buy these evening gowns for $300 or up to $1,200 so I could look perfect for these parties. And I realized later that it was all ego. I needed to be seen. I needed to win. I wanted it all. And, you know, but food always caught up to me. And I always got large again. And the last thing I guess I want to say is I know I have a disease. I know I have a disease today. I have the facts. I have 40 years of experience of research and development. And I know what it does to my body and the chemicals that cause that craving. So when I'm tempted, I remember I have a disease. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And before I take some more names, just reminding you, we're in Bill's story, chapter 1, the fourth page, and the first paragraph, abruptly in October 1929, reading through two paragraphs with "This Time We Stayed Broke." And who would like to share?
Laura W.
Donna
Laura W.
G. Wendy
A.
I heard a Donna.
Jenny C.
Sorry, was that Donna W., please?
Donna G.
G. Thank you, Donna. And who's next, please?
Maggie.
Okay, everybody came in together. One at a time, please.
Maggie.
Laura T.
Okay, I heard a Laura T. And I heard a Maggie. Was that Maggie?
Mags C.
Mags T.
C is in your cat.
C is in cat. Okay, and I can take two more.
Jackie
R. Something R.
Mindy.
Mindy. Mindy, what's your last initial, please?
R.
R. Okay, and one more, please.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, we've got our lineup, folks. Okay, so we have Laura B., Donna D., Laura T., Mags C., Mindy R., and Wendy M. Go ahead, Laura B.
Hi, it's Laura W. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Sherry. Laura W., compulsive eater, anorexic, exercise bulimic, recovered in South Jersey. Yeah, I love these paragraphs because, you know, it says, I wobbled from a hotel bar. You know, it tells me right there that he was already drunk, and it was 8 o'clock at night, so he's probably been drinking since at least 5 o'clock since he got off work, or probably all day. Who knows? All I know is that I wobbled around in an anorexic stupor, basically high on sugar constantly, and foggy. I don't know if anybody can relate, like being unable to concentrate, being foggy, getting another bite, and feeling like everything's okay. And that fierce determination came back just to be the best and keep doing what I was doing. Because tomorrow was another day, you know, let me just lose a little more weight. Let me just eat this stuff a little bit more, and then tomorrow I will start to eat healthy again. Tomorrow I will do what everybody tells me I need to do. You know, Bill here he's talking about jumping to the depths from the towers of high finance, and that disgusted me. I mean, how egocentric is that? That was me thinking like I knew better than everybody. Bill was passing judgment here. But you know what? He was jumping as well. He was committing suicide. He says, I went back to the bar. He's not doing anything different. He's just going back to the bar to commit a slow suicide. I was so blind to the severity of my disease and the insanity of it. It was the only thing I knew. And that's the scary part of this disease, is that there's a certain sense of security in the familiar. And it was familiar, and I was so afraid of change and so afraid of doing things differently, because I did not know, not only was there another way, but I did not know who I would be if I got recovered. The fear was overwhelming. So again, I'll start tomorrow. And when the pain gets too much, that is when I decided something had to be different. And what was different was that I began to rely on my God, who I always had in my life, but I never connected God in the food and God in my weight. So I began to rely on God for everything. And today, God is my higher power. God is my ease and comfort. God is my source of strength. God keeps me abstinent, sober, and sane one day at a time for the last 14 years. And I think that if I forget that, every morning when I wake up, I turn my will and my life over to Him. But I know in my heart that if I forget that and I take my will back, I am recovered today, but I'm not cured. So I'm not one bite away today, because I am connected to my higher power, but I know that I could be one bite away. I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful that Bill didn't jump, because we will get to have the rest of the story and get to have the 12 steps. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And Donna D., you're up, followed by Laura T. Donna?
It's Donna G., as in good.
Oh, good. Thank you, Donna G.
So what jumped out to me from this reading was, I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several million since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow was another day. And, as so many have said this morning, I really identify with that, because, I can't say I ever thought about jumping, but I went on each day as if, in denial, as if I wasn't slowly dying. And as it turned out, with the thought that tomorrow's another day, I can pick up tomorrow and do better. And a lot of redemption, a lot of feelings of redeeming myself. I would start the day with redeeming from yesterday. And how do I redeem myself from what I did yesterday? And so it was even a harder task each day, because I've got to redeem myself, plus I've got to do well today. And it is impossible. It was impossible, given what I now know, having the allergy, it was impossible. So I really thank my higher power, who I call God, for bringing me into the rooms of OA, onto this line, because what I see now is that, in a way it was good that I didn't jump, because, it's always good that you don't jump, but it was good that I hung on, and that actually, what I was doing was saving myself in a very distorted way, saving myself from jumping. I was coping, and the only way I knew how to cope, because I didn't have a spiritual awakening and I didn't know about the program. And so, I've heard the term grateful recovering. I'm getting there, because, and this reading helped me actually, because, we do have today. We don't need to look to tomorrow. We do have today. And I hope that all the newcomers on the line take some hope from everyone who shared today, and the understanding that, OA brings us not tomorrow's another day, but today is a good day, and today is a day to be clean. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna G. And Laura T., you're up, followed by Mag C. Laura?
Thank you so much. In this paragraph, we see Bill's ego. You know, he's passing judgment on the people in desperation. And we see his denial, because really he is in that desperate situation too, but he's minimizing it. I mean, it's a very scary time in the world. And, you know, as addicts, we either minimize or exaggerate until we find the program. And that is exactly what he's doing. And he is also, we see his isolation and his selfishness and his addicts, that happens with us too. He's trying to drive the situation. He's trying to play God by just minimizing and trying to ease his pain through the drink and saying, well, tomorrow's another day, so what? And that's, you know, that will eventually be his undoing until he started working the program that we now all have at our disposal, thanks to his struggle that we can relate with. And so I'm so grateful that this is a we program. Literally, our medicine is working the steps and reaching out and carrying the message, which is what we're doing when we get on these lines. And so we find that the higher power is our solution rather than the food, which is a false solution. So with that, I pass. Would you like us to leave contact information now or at the end of the meeting?
Mindy Prayer. Thank you, Laura T. And Mag C, you're up, followed by Mindy R. Mag?
Hi, everybody. This is, excuse my voice, but this is Mag C from Denver, Colorado. Gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. And Bill witnessed some serious trauma. I mean, Wall Street in that time, right? That's in all the history books, the anxiety, the death, the drama on high, sadness and fear, which turned, for him, it turned to anger and then turned to disgust. And I, you know, personally, this is not me and was never me. I am much more similar to the people jumping from on high. I mean, God, how much easier would death have been than dealing with that mess, that emotional buildup of grief and financial fear? I mean, he lost everything. And thank God he didn't commit suicide. Thank God he actually stayed alive to write this incredible book with 100 other people. But in my disease, trauma has like ruled my life. The effects of constant anxiety and fear, which I totally stuffed with food of any type and any kind, and I constantly sought to escape. Hello, anything legal to soothe that horrible buildup of lack of safety, of fear, of emotion. And how curious is this, like, twist of my mind that I'm only going to survive because I can blank this whole thing out with drink, with food, you know, with sex, with something. And I knew how to soothe myself, but God, that broken effort to take a substance and not really walk through why I'm sad and not walk through why I'm fearful or mad. And now, because of these 12 steps, I can feel safe even when I am grieving and I don't choose to stuff it anymore. I can walk through it, but I can only walk through it if I'm close to this program, because I have relapsed. And I am coming back from a relapse, and but the binging and the purging has stopped. December 18th is my clean day, and I mean, this is a deeply spiritual, not religious program. And when tragedy strikes, and it will, because that's life, my existence isn't painful and fearful. It can be absolutely walked through and eased by a call, by listening, by reading, by helping someone else. And it's absolutely amazing. And please, if you're new, please keep listening. It's just an amazing program. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Mags and Mindy R., you're up next, followed by Wendy M. Mindy?
Hi, this is Mindy, food addict.
from chilly Philadelphia. So I was listening to the last share, and I'm like, that's exactly what I was going to say, pretty much. And I can just add that the triumphs and tragedies of life, when life gets lifey, for some people are more and some people are less. And never thought I'd be in that category of more. And, you know, when I read the story of Bill, I relate so much. And I'm reading it again right now, actually, with my sponsor. And tragedy just seems like it just keeps happening in my life. And, you know, his ultimate tragedy was, you know, losing money or whatever that is. My ultimate tragedy is losing my child to cancer at a very young age. And actually, it's 5 years ago that my life died. And I lost my life. I lost the person that I used to be. So I can relate in that respect of tragedy and getting through the tragedies. But I'll tell you one thing, if anyone's listening to what I have to say, is the food is killing me. Not only, or the food was killing me. Killing me of the loss of my daughter forever, never, ever having her again, is also killing me, but the food is going to take me out. And it does. And I don't know how many relapses I have in me, because some days I just can't deal with it. And it is true, reaching out to people really helps, but there's times that I just isolate, because my story, I don't get over my story. This story goes on and on daily, and people don't want to hear it because I'm like their worst nightmare. So that's where I have my issue, is being able to share about it and talk about it. I do have other outside issues that I deal with, and together we can do this together. But this program is the only thing that is keeping me alive today. And that's, I guess that's all I really have to say, is one day at a time for me, and it really is. So thanks for letting me share, and thank you, everybody, for always being there in these meetings that are keeping me alive for the family that I have.
Thank you, Mindy R. And Wendy M., you'll be our last one to share. Go ahead, Wendy M.
Yes, good morning, Wendy. Yeah, can you hear me? Yes. Carrie, can you guys hear me? No?
You.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Sherry?
Wendy, go ahead, please. Wendy?
Yeah, can you hear me now, Sherry?
I can hear you now, Wendy.
Okay, great, great. So Wendy Ann recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Sherry, for your service and everyone on the line. It's so good to be back on this line with you guys. And I can just first say that it's so easy for this program to slip up. If I stop doing meditation or listening to this phone line or all of it, right, working with somebody, like it's been 2 weeks since I've worked with someone and I can feel it. You can slip away from this program so quickly. It's just a practice. So it's great to be on the line, feel like I'm jumping in. So I want to say that at first when I read Bill's story the first 100 times, I just built such a resentment towards him. And the reason for that is because I saw myself all over the place, and it was really painful, right? Like the grandiosity, the dropping the name of the VIP, Walter Hagen, or that's me, dropping. And then the other thing I want to say is that the denial is so deep, and my denial was so deep. I was in fantasy land. I would only look at myself in the mirror from the neck up. I completely denied the fact that I had an overweight body, right? Because in my world, in my mind, the rules don't apply to me. Gravity doesn't apply to me. I wouldn't open up my bills because that doesn't apply to me. That's, somebody else's world. I'm different. I'm unique. I don't have a problem. So I wanted to say that as well, that, I was in another world. And what the steps do is that they put a mirror up and they say, come on, we're going to look at everything on the outside, everything on the inside. we're going to excavate, you know, and what freedom I got from finally looking at myself completely. What freedom, because if, like they say, if I'm the problem, there is a solution. But if I'm not the problem, I can't, there's no solution, right? And then the last thing I want to say is I have been experiencing such a transformation with my higher power. I've been in 17 years, and the other day I'm at a meeting, and people are saying, yeah, you know what, you can actually have a relationship with a personal God. And I'm like, what? You mean this could be personal? Yes. I was able to write out exactly what I wanted in a higher power, and it's so personal to me. It's so in my body. It's so intuitive. It's so personal. Like, it's exactly what I wanted. I want a higher power who won't go away, who's going to be there at all times. I can ask for that? Oh, yeah, you can ask for that. My higher power sings musical songs to me all the way, Broadway. We're totally connected there. My higher power is so, I can't describe it, but exactly what I want. It's not something, an entity outside of me that I have to go find all the time. It's completely with me all the time, and this power that I'm experiencing is making, is just helping me find sanity and peace and, oh my God, so much love, because I am love. Love isn't something I got to go find. I am it, and I get to emanate that when I work with others. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M., and that's all the time we have today for sharing. Thank all of you for your shares today. It was a wonderful meeting. I want to thank Team Wednesday for their service. The 12 steps were Nancy T., the 12 traditions were Athena B., the reader of our text for Cindy D. Penny L.C. is going to read page 164, and, of course, backup Kathy Jo P. waiting in the wings. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our Big Book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Penny?
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for your service. And this is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.